going. Father, thank you so much for all these wonderful people, my brothers and my sisters. We get to hold hands tonight in fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your glory that fall down on all of us, Lord. Just envelop us in your glory, Father. And I'm asking you to lead us tonight and guide us and teach us what it is you'd have us to know, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all the great words that's going to be spoken tonight, because I know we're going to be led by your Holy Spirit. And I know everybody studied the word this the last few days to give us a wonderful revelation out of your word. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all my smiling faces out there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for drawing nigh to us, drawing so close to us, Lord. We praise you for it. And we ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit just fill us up to overflowing. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Not if it's 2.7. So Leon was, that was not right. I guess, I don't know. Well, 50 degrees is not cold, the real cold.
That's t-shirt weather where we live.
Yeah, right. Well, I gotta have a jacket on at that kind of temperature.
Let's pray, right. Let's pray for waking the church up.
Those okay, go for it, brother. We'll believe we can probably join in too.
All right, Father. Boy, I tell you what, there's some tough people out there need to be cracked, I know. We need to open up your true gospel and the true word to these people, to the church out there. Have them get off the ferry boat they're on and pleasure cruise and them start getting serious about you and understanding what it is that's life in Christ with you. I know everybody's concerned about building their churches up and filling the pews. Well, Lord, I'd just rather they be filled up with you and come to knowledge of who your son is, Father, and who their son that's inside of them. Lord, let them understand what the true gospel is, start reaching for you instead of reaching for others to come and fill their pews. Have them search their souls and find out what it is they need for themselves to be in the body of Christ, Father. Open their minds and their hearts and see what's going on in this world. Take away the confusion and they understand the time that they're in. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. And Lord, we know that most of them think they're going to be zapped out of here before the tribulation starts. And Father, I know that when the shaking starts, there's going to be a bunch of them running out from them and separating themselves from them, because they'll know, Lord, that this shaking is from you. Father, I thank you that they're going to run to the true gospel and be a sign and a wonder for the people behind them, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. But I know it's coming. You've showed us so many times in the Word with our words every morning. Thank you, Father, for doing this for your chosen in the apostate churches, in Jesus' name. Lord, draw the people that are out there just that are searching the truth, that are getting the truth and getting the revelations, Lord. Give them people to fellowship with wherever they are, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Even one or two people is a whole lot better, you know, where they can talk about Jesus, sit around and drink coffee or whatever it is and talk about you, Lord, the revelations that come forth out of your word. And it's so much better when you've got somebody to do that with. And Lord, if we don't, we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to drop in and say hello to them and give them the revelations yourself. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Glory be to God. Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report or a testimony?
Hello, Michael.
Gano, how are you?
I'm fine. I want to thank you for the prayers that you just prayed. Just a moment. I got a frog here. I was invited over to some of Marlon's classmates. They got together the other night, and as you and Dave were praying for, you know, the people that are going to denominational churches, you know, I think a lot of them, they don't even have a thought that there will be a tribulation. I think they're just kind of in la-la land. I know the ones that I was with, yes, it was, you know, all about what they have and what they're doing and where they're going, all their trips. And it was just, when I went home, I just had such an empty, just actually my stomach just hurt, but it was for them. And, you know, I felt that for a while I was kind of in a judging mode, and then I listened to your message, and it's like, well, you can't do that. Well, I was praying for them also, but they honestly just don't know, and there was not one word spoken about God all evening long, and it's just, it's sad and it's heartbreaking. And you know, that's my prayer too, along with what you both prayed, that the Lord would draw them and just reveal his truth to them, because they do not know truth, and they're just out there going from day to day doing what the world does without even thinking of what is coming. And I too just pray that he would just open their spiritual ears and eyes so that they can see truth, and also that they could receive it, because some of them, I don't think they even open their Bible during the week. They feel they've heard something on Sunday, and that's good. They're good to go. And they don't realize what they are missing out on. And I just am so thankful that the Lord drew us to UBM. And I'm so thankful for just the fellowship through the Bible study and the teleconference. I just thank the Lord that it was him that drew us there. And because you truly are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's just gives me a really warm feeling in my heart, being, you know, a distance away. And but still feeling you're right here. I know the people that talk to me, they're, you know, they keep coming and say, well, how are you doing? And but their suggestions of what I should do are worldly suggestions. And they say, well, what do you do? And I, you know, I told them that, well, I listen to Bible study over the internet and teleconference. And they just say, oh. And they thought, well, maybe I should do some yoga. And it's like, well, I'm not going to do yoga, but I didn't go into it because, you know, they were saying, well, there was women around this area do that, and they just really feel good about it. And it's like, but I didn't go there. I just said, no, I wasn't interested in that. But I don't know. I just, my heart just really goes out to them.
Amen.
And, they don't know. And I was wanting you to send me that, somebody had asked for a link to, it was with because these people are all Lutheran, and you had talked the other night, or I wasn't here, but I listened to it later. It was on, I can't even think what it was about. You were going to send a link to somebody was it about witchcraft or something? Anyway, I was wondering if you could send that to me. I
don't remember.
It's about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America.
Oh, okay, well, this one is a different synod, but I think they're probably not all that different. I don't know.
The ELCA is a lot more liberal. They have women pastors, and it shows in that church they had actual witchcraft going on, a coven practicing things. And
oh, my goodness.
They're out there. Yeah, it's... You get, these churches are not really what you really could call a church anymore, Christians.
Sounds like a coven.
The one here, they're Missouri Synod. I think they're probably a little stricter, but yeah. I know growing up, some of my dad's family were Missouri Synod and some were Wisconsin Synod, and one thought the other one was going to hell, and it was just crazy. It was just nuts. And anyway, enough of that. But I just thank the Lord for just for UBM and everyone that shares. It's like the words that you share, they are spirit in their life because they're the truth of the word. And I so appreciate it. It is a blessing. So thank you, everyone. And I guess that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for waking those people up. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I know he's going to do it, too.
Yes, I believe that.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, let's pray for Gaino. Thank you, Father, for bringing Gaino again in our fellowship. She's such a wonderful person to hear, and we know that you're looking after her, and we're keeping her fed, and we all come together as the body of Christ and enrich each other and bless each other, and we thank you for her being in our body. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
I'd like to pray about this tropical storm out in the Gulf, Barry. I remember years ago, I heard a prophetic word from somebody that had a good John the Baptist ministry, and operates in the gifting of a prophet. And I remember, this is right after Katrina, he prophesied that there was something coming to New Orleans that was going to be worse than Katrina and would truly take the city out, and that it wouldn't be rebuilt. And I was just, some of the things that I've seen, just some of the headlines from the news, they're forecasting like 20 inches of rain. And I know the Lord has, well, Lord, I just lift your people up to you. Lord, that's a real low place. And I pray you would move your people to higher ground, not only in the natural, but in the spirit. Lord, that you give them wisdom, that you give them discernment, or that you have mercy. I don't believe we can pray this thing away, because I believe it's part of the judgment that's been ordained, but we can ask for mercy, and that's what I'm asking for, Lord, that that there are people that through the devastation that is coming, Lord, that they will cry out to you, and that you'll draw them to you by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you'll, in your great mercy, pour out a spirit of repentance and faith upon them. Lord, I pray that if there's loss of life here, that you allow no one that is unsaved to die. That if there is any loss of life because of this, that it's just your children coming home to you. So, Lord, I do pray for mercy here. I pray that it won't be as bad as what they're saying. And yet, Lord, I know that New Orleans and just a lot of the stuff that goes on down there along the Gulf Coast, it's just iniquity and wickedness. And you will not be mocked. So, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in all of this. It's going to be a great shaking for a lot of people. But it's going to cause them to turn to you with all of their heart. and come on into the kingdom. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, most of New Orleans is below sea level. So they get any kind of rain at all, it's a flood. If the seawall breaks. That's what happened to Katrina. Did you say they're forecasting 20 inches?
Yeah, I just looked on my phone and I saw that.
Is it headed for New Orleans?
I didn't read. I didn't want to be too distracted. I just took a quick peek.
Okay.
It's going to go where the Lord directs it to go.
Amen.
Allows it to go.
It's probably, you know, 150 miles wide. Those things are really huge when they're coming up off the Gulf. So it's going to be a big area. It won't be pinpoint at any location, as you know. You know, it's going to cover a, you know, probably entire state or couple of states when it comes onshore. So, yeah, serious for a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife said that they were expecting a lot of rain up there, too, in Arkansas. So,
yeah.
Just above Louisiana. So, I guess that's what it's doing. Is this a tropical storm or is this a hurricane?
What I just saw on the Weather Channel was it would be a hurricane like surge, that the storm surge would be like a hurricane, but I think it's actually rated as a tropical storm.
Okay.
So they might not have quite all the wind that you would have with the hurricane, but they're still going to have a big, big storm surge and a whole lot of rain.
Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you for getting your people safe in Jesus' name. All right. May I ask, who is Bella B. Tabby?
Hello there. It's Nora.
Oh, hey, Nora. How you doing, girl?
Fine, thank you.
Are you fine as wine in the summertime, girl?
No, it's winter.
Well, okay. It is there.
Yep.
All right, good to have you on, girl.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Or praise report, or testimony. Go, Joe.
Well, I'd like to pray with what you first brought up, Dave, and what you know others are kind of praying with the recent. I mean, you know, this stretches worldwide, but we're seeing it start to come up in America. The recent, taking the pedophile child trafficker Jeffrey Epstein back into court. I mean. You know, and if you know anything about what's going on, this goes in the church. So, you know, I'd like to pray for just those people who are affected and who the enemy wants to affect with this, that, you know, that you would, God would protect. Let's agree God would protect those, you know, potential victims of, with the priest and the Catholic Church. I've been seeing in the past, I think it was earlier this year, the Baptist, you know, I mean, here in America, and it's probably elsewhere. You know, I mean, yeah, it's everywhere, you know, worldwide. So let's pray for their protection and, you know, healing for those. I mean, I see that this has been an answer just to our prayers. I know at times we pray God would expose this, and it looks like this is the tip of the iceberg. So yeah, Father God, we just thank you for answering prayer, Lord. This is part of draining the swamp, the pedophilia, the child trafficking, you know, the sex cults, I mean, all this occultic, you know, wickedness, Lord, it's a, you know, I mean, you see it all, Lord, you know, and we thank you that you're beginning to expose it. So we ask that you'd continue to expose this wickedness in high places, you know, in politics and over here in America and Hollywood, you know, the entertainment industry, it's in the church, you know, in governments. I mean, it's not just here in America, it's worldwide, Lord. It's over there in South Africa, it's everywhere. And we ask, Lord, that you would just protect those people who these people want to harm. You know, the supernatural, you would station angels around them, Lord, that would watch over them daily. And Lord, you would protect them. You would foil the plans of the enemy. We just lose chaos and confusion. and just destruction, you know, into the camp of the enemy that would want to harm children, adults. It doesn't matter who it is, Lord, the potential victims. We ask, you know, that you'd protect them and that you would confuse the enemy to where they just give up. They say, I don't want to pursue this person. You know, I mean, it does me no good to do that. So we thank you, Lord, for that ahead of time, that you're going to protect them. And we pray for a total healing. You know, when they come out of the churches that they're in, that they, you know, as your children, they've been hurt and they've been wounded and they're very vulnerable, you know, and it's going to be hard thinking, hey, I've left what I thought was, you know, my life and I thought was, or my faith, but I'm finding out it's not. And where do I go for healing? You know, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring them to that place of healing. You know, thank you when the man child comes upon this earth and their ministry starts, that, Lord, these are the kind of people that they're going to reach out to. We thank you that you're going to give them the truth and that you're going to give them ears to hear and eyes to see it and a heart to receive it. You know, but most of all, we thank you that you're going to prepare them ahead of time. So keep them safe where they're at. And we thank you for this, what you're going to do. Thank you for exposing all this wickedness, Lord. Keep shining the light on it. Angels, keep going forth and just rooting these people up from the depths and, you know, from the places they're hiding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I went to the store today, and I got out of the store, and it started pouring rain, thunder, and lightning, and everything. So I made it to a bus stop shelter, and I sat in there for a while. And then another person got off the bus, and he came into this shelter, too. And I said hi to him. We talked for a while. And I said, looks like it's pretty bad weather. I'm not going to leave here till the rain stops. And then I got into a discussion with this man, finding out he's a pastor just down the road here in some church close by. And we had a nice discussion there, waiting for the rain to stop. And so he felt really blessed that I was talking to him and that he was wondering why he was stuck in the rain there. And he said, this has to be providential from the Lord, you know. And we discussed various things, you know. I noticed that he didn't speak too much word, but he's a pastor that actually works for a living and actually does his churching after his job. And I remember discussing some of the things with him on how some pastors would say the only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner, so just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. And then I sort of told him, you know, that you know, some people believe in into the likeness of, and some people believe in recreation, born again, regeneration. Why would a pastor say this, you know? And then suddenly, after he baptizes a new convert, call him a sinner, you know? And he sort of looked at me kind of difficult like, and then I said, I better bring up Romans 6 here. And I told him about that in that chapter it says you're free from sin twice. I quoted to him 6:11. I quoted him 6:14 out of the King James and out of the Numeric English. And he was a little bit delighted to hear that, you know. I told him about the other saying that people have, you know, these sayings, they make them make themselves into the church, you know. They have that saying there where it says, God doesn't see your sin. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. I remember that one. Someone told me that one too. And you know, if you don't come out and correct these sayings that people hear, they may go on to continue hearing. I remember David Eales saying that one a long time ago. And I went, hey, man, I heard that one too. You know, so I just mentioned that to him. And he was quite nice to hear. He says, it's nice to hear someone talking about the Lord, you know, because I believe in holiness. The church I have here, they believe in holiness, you know. And then he gave me that line there. They all give you, I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And then I went, uh-oh. So I was polite and patient with this guy. And he's actually from Africa, because I questioned his accent. He's from the Congo. And he's come over here. He's married, and he's going to be a pastor, because there's a few pastors there, apparently, the way he was talking to me about this, that is trying to get this church. And apparently there's quite a few churches down there. It's in a business section. They're renting business warehouses to have their church in. And he invited me. He gave me one of the pamphlets from the church. And I just don't know if I should go over there. I don't want to go over there. It's just going to be sad for me. And anyway, that was at least a nice reunion with some of these people who know their salvation, but they need deliverance of some false teachings and false prophecies. And I didn't want to come on too strong, and I almost warned them about what's going to come, but I didn't feel like I was prepared to do that. And the rain was letting up, so he talked more than me. And providential that we were in that place at the same time, I think. And he asked me where I went to church. And I said, well, I go to the church on the internet, you know, they have studies and they have fellowship. And I go, you know, fellowship, when I used to go into the denominations, you know, I told them fellowship was mostly having like cakes and sandwiches. They didn't talk about the Lord. And mind you, though, I don't mind the cakes and sandwiches, you know, you got to show some Tabitha hands there, you know. And anyway. The Lord is in control, and that's what I keep saying. I keep saying he's in control. There's going to have to be something done here, and he's doing it, and we know he's going to do it. And I hope that these people will have someone come to them and help them when the time comes for that. Praise God.
Amen. Maybe you.
Well, I asked the Lord about that, you know, and I'm going, you know, Lord, I'd go and do this, but I need to know you want me to go, because I'm the only one here. You know, I don't have a background where any backup, not background, but a backup, you know. Jesus had backup. He had all his disciples with him. You know? You know, this is what happens when you cry out to the Lord and you say, I'm the only one left, Lord. And here you go. You meet up with someone there, you know, that needs help. He was quoting verses too. And I like when people do that. And I like when they want to be holy. You know, he is a pastor, you know, and then you sort of wonder, am I ready? You know, because this guy is going to start quoting something out at left field, you know, and then he might do that. Anyway, it's all the Lord. I'm waiting for things. The Lord told me to be patient for things, and I'm going to be patient. I can be law patient. You know, I need patience because, you know, people, you know, they really, do you ever have the screwdriver going into you from some person there? You know, it's just like going right through and it's like sticking out your back there and you're going, man, is this ever weird? Why are they doing this to me? And you know, it goes from a practice where you're sent out as a baby to save people, and that's what they do to you, and then your whole life turns upside down because of it, and you need to be matured. And of course, now I know the Lord used that to mature me. And well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Here lately, I've been, when I take Fudge for a walk in the evening, I'd say like maybe four times now, there have been these three Muslim women that are walking in the park that I go through as part of the walk that I take Fudge on. And sometimes the one lady has her little boy. He's like maybe a year and a half old. And she pushes him in this little, it's like a little bicycle stroller thing. She pushes him, but it has the pedals or whatever, because he can't really do it. I guess it's to help him learn or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, they get a kick out of Fudge. The one lady in particular kind of laughed, you know, when she lays down in the grass all of a sudden because she likes the cool grass on her belly. And but anyway, so you know, I just want to pray for them, because I think probably most of us have heard that the Lord has appeared to Muslims in dreams and stuff, and they've been saved, and you know, and you know, I just last night, you know, just talked to him just a little bit, you know, just about Fudge or whatever, and you know, just told him some stuff or whatever, and the little boy likes dogs and heat, and but anyway, I just I want to pray for them, Father. I just lift these women up to you, Lord, and Lord, if it be your will that, you know, that I speak to them about you. I ask you to open the door up, and that I know that you want me to speak. And Lord, if it's all I do is plant seeds, then that's fine. And I just ask you also, Lord, to give them dreams, give them a dream of you. Come to them in their dreams, Lord. Lord, I don't believe it's by happenstance. You know, nothing's a coincidence with you. You arrange everything. And I believe, Lord, that you've brought our paths across each other for a purpose. And I believe that's for me to pray for them, that they know who the real true God is. And that's Jesus Christ and you, Father. And that they would repent and believe in you, Lord. And that their whole households would be saved, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. And I just praise you and I thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for turning them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Okay. I just want to give you an update. Date on Jacob, the one who ended up in prison. For those who don't know, he was my nephew, and he just got sentenced to 12 years, I think it was roughly. I think he's going to end up having to do maybe a little over 10 or 11, something like that. But he got put into the a prison where it's a diagnostic place where they're going to figure out where they're going to put you in our state. And anyway, so he's out of there now, and he's into the place, and the place he's in is a really a good place. So we're just excited. It's a minimum security, which is good. So that means when you visit, you don't have to visit through the glass. You can sit around the table. Also, just he was, he's talking. I thought, just talked to my sister, and she was saying that he had a, "Mom, I had an apple. I haven't had an apple in over a year." Because in the county jail, there was no windows. You can't go outside. Said he didn't see a sunlight for a year. And now he's got to walk out from one building to another to go to the mess hall. He said it was raining out, and he was just all excited just to be able to walk through the rain. He had a banana and an apple. So, but he's really happy, and it sounds like it's I think it would be a good place for him. So far, he likes his cellmate, so I don't know. He's got to pray, and still getting in the Word, and so we're just happy for him. So we pray for Jacob right now. We ask that you would bless him there and favor him and use his testimony, Lord, to touch the lives of others in that place and help him to really get in the Word, Lord. He's got time. One thing to do have is time. So help him to get in the Word, Father, and just fill his spirit and his soul up with your Word, Father. And just help my sister, Jodine, and her husband, Mick, for the visits. It's not too far. I think it's about 2.5 hours away or so. So help them on the visits and help the rest of the family to reach out to Jacob and just bless them, Lord. So we're just so grateful, Jesus. We thank you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, that reminds me. Blake gets out of his minimum security place Monday. Lord, I'm asking you to, if this is not time for him to get out, I'm asking you to extend it. But if it is, praise be to God. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've got his eyes fixed on you and your angels around him to protect him. Lord, I ask that you put him to work. He's already got a job, by the way. Learning how to weld at a fabricating plant. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that you're going to keep him busy and keep him in the Word. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just remembering how Brother Lee, whenever they would put them in prison in China, he said that was when they, it was time for them to go back to Bible school. That's where their teaching time was going there and get close to the Lord. Because they had time for the study, you know, getting fellowship with God more, because all the distractions were removed. Not like it was an easy time, but that was their schooling time. That's what he said. Yeah, you're muted, Michael.
No, I just saw it. Thank you. All right, anybody else got a praise report or a testimony? I got a little something I'd like to read if I might, and I can, so I will. I don't even know the title of this, but this is from Andy Murr, and it's called, I'm just going to read it. The Holy Place, the Habitation of God's Holiness, was the center of all God's work in making Israel holy. Everything connected with it was holy. The altar, the priests, the sacrifices, the oil, the bread, the vessels, all were holy because they belonged to God. When the house there issued the twofold voice, God's call to be holy, God's promise to make holy, God's claim was manifested in the demand for cleansing, for atonement, for holiness in all who were to draw near, whether as priests or worshipers. And God's promise shone forth from his house in the provision for making holy in the sanctifying power of the altar, of the blood and the oil. The house embodied the two sides that are united in holiness, the repelling and the attracting, the condemning and the saving. Now, by keeping the people at a distance, then by inviting and bringing them nigh, God's house was the great symbol of his own holiness. He had come nigh even to dwell among them, and yet they might not come nigh. They might never enter the secret place of his presence. And all these things are written on our behalf. It is as the indwelling one that God is the sanctifier of his people still. The indwelling presence alone makes us holy. This comes out with special clearness if we note how the nearer the presence was, the greater degree of holiness. Because God dwelt among them, the camp was holy. All uncleanness was to be removed from it. But the holiness of the court of the tabernacle was greater. Uncleanness, which did not exclude from the camp, would not be tolerated there. And then the holy place was still holier because still near God. And the inner sanctuary, where the presence dwelt on the mercy seat, was the holiest of all, was most holy. And the principles still holds good. Now listen to this. Holiness is measured by nearness to God. The more of his presence, the more of true holiness. Perfect indwelling will be perfect holiness. There's none holy but the Lord. There's no holiness but in him. He cannot part with somewhat of his holiness and give it to us apart from himself. We have only so much of holiness as we have of God himself. And to have himself truly and fully, we must have him as the indwelling one. And his indwelling in a house or locality without life or spirit is only a faint shadow of the true indwelling as the living one when he enters into and penetrates our very being and fills us, our very selves, with his own life. Amen. The one that I had highlighted that I came across, I'd read this before. Holiness is measured by nearness to God. Our holiness is measured by our nearness to God. How near are we to God? How near can we get to God? As near as we want to be. As near as we want to sacrifice our flesh and the world for. That's how close you can come to him. You can get as close as you want. And it all depends on us and our faith. Whew, Lord of God, man, that just set me on fire when I read that. Praise be to God. Woo, Jesus. Go, Dave.
Where'd you read that from?
Right there. Right here. I've
seen it, but I couldn't see it fast enough.
Let me see what the name of the works is. Holiness and Obedience. It's a 31-day daily, what do you call them? Daily thing, you know. It's got 31 chapters in it.
Devotional.
Huh? Devotional, yeah. I guess, devotional. But he talks about obedience and holiness and obedience. Of course, obedience is holiness.
Who is that by?
Andy Murray.
That's what I thought. Yep.
Yeah. Andrew, excuse me. I call him Andy. It's just easier. You know, boys from Arkansas, they just like to do things quicker. All right, anybody else? What do y'all think about that? What do you say? Somebody tell me something else.
I think it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Yep. I believe it is. I enjoyed that. Go ahead, George. I'll get you in a minute, Missy. Go ahead, George. You got
All right, there we go. when you were talking about being close to God, the closer you get, the anyway, it reminded me of when the Israelites looked at the top of the mountain. It says, now the Exodus 24:17, it says, now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And it just reminded me that, you know, those people were at the mountain, but they weren't close to God. They weren't up there on top of the mountain. And it says the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain. And it reminded me that maybe that devouring fire is what burns up all our flesh, that we give our bodies as a living sacrifice to stay as close to God as we can. And just, you know, a thought I had earlier in the week also, I was thinking about when Paul says he was the chief of sinners. I wonder if he realized, or if he said that because maybe he realized that the more revelation he got, the more he realized he had to depend on God more, that he, in his own mind, was the chiefest of sinners because he didn't want to live out of self. And that was just a thought that came to me. It might just be mine, but that's all I had.
Amen. Yeah, I think so. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what came to me was, you said that we can be as near to God.
We can't hear you.
Oh, seriously? You can't hear me?
Can't hear you.
I can.
Can't hear you.
We can hear. I can hear.
Don't get mad. No. We're in the presence of God here now. Careful.
Can you hear me?
Can't hear you. Say it again.
Can everybody else hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. That's weird. I don't know why it's going announced. Anyway, lose my train of thought. Okay, when you were saying about, you know, we can be as near to God as we want to be, you know, what came to my mind was how David says, if you don't have the want to, ask the Lord for the want to. You can't hear me? Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you, Dave.
Well, I can hear you.
Okay.
Missy, move your leg or your knee because he's pulling your leg.
Okay.
Can y'all hear her?
Yeah, I can.
How come I can't?
I don't know.
That's weird. Can Michael hear everybody else?
I can hear Michael.
I can hear you.
I can hear him, yeah.
I can hear Missy and Michael. Missy and Michael have a conversation. See if you guys can hear each other.
Weird. Yeah, I can hear you, Dave, but I can't hear her.
I think he's messing with you.
No.
Say something, Dave.
I just did. Missy was just laughing. Did you hear that?
I can't hear you now. Maybe it's just set.
Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and say something, Missy.
Can you hear me, Michael?
I can now.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know, something going wrong with this headset, I guess.
Okay. Anyway, you want me to repeat what I said? Did you hear anything that I said?
I didn't hear nothing.
Nothing, okay.
I didn't hear nothing.
Well, when you were saying about, you know, we can be as near to God as we want to be, you know, which you said is you know, Andrew said is holiness or whatever. What came to my mind was, you know, there's still, I mean, sometimes we don't even though we want to be near God, we don't even sometimes know how to be near to God. That may sound funny, you know. But what came to my mind was David says, you know, if you don't have the want to, ask for the want to. It's like, or kind of like, you know, sometimes we feel like we don't have enough of want to, you know, that we're lacking. It's like, Lord, work, you know, just comes back to what I know. I've read Andrew Murray say a lot about, you know, it's God that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, you know, just it's still, I still think, you know, that wanting to still is, everything is God's grace. And the only way we can, everything comes by God's grace, you know. So, anyway, that was just some thoughts I had.
I caught some of that.
Just, you know, just ask. You know, like David says, ask for everything. It's like we feel like we fall so short, you know, and we do. When we feel like we fall so short, that's because it's our own efforts, and we can't even. It's just like sometimes, like, okay, can we really draw near to God without his grace? I don't even think we can't do anything without his grace. You know what I mean? I'm just thinking out loud. Somebody say something.
Well, I would, but I'm cutting in and out. And,
anyway, I'm done.
I got it working now. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I can hear everybody now. I had to turn on the settings thing and leave it on in order to hear everybody. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I command this demon out of here in the name of Jesus. This communication demon, you go. In the name of Jesus. You ain't got no right in here, so I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Amen. No more problem. Okay. All right. Okay, Missy. Do what, Dave?
Missy can start all over again.
No, that's okay. So how do we draw, well, the question, and you probably answered it, I don't know, but how do we draw near to God? I see all these deer in the headlight looks. I know what y'all know.
Missy mentioned, and I do agree with what she has to say there about requesting or going to God and saying, you know, draw me near to you. Like David, the psalmist says, draw me and we will run after thee. Yeah. So we ask for that. We ask the Lord draw us. We know if we feel like there's something coming between us and God, we feel like there's a nearness is gone. We just go cry out to the Lord, you know, don't let this happen, Lord. When you draw me in, you know, don't let this come over top me where there's something between you and me. I can feel it. There's something shielding me from you. So we ask the Lord to draw us close again.
Okay. There's actually more than one way to get drawn closer to God. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, the way I've seen in my own life, or that just keeps, you know, like, I guess one of the constant things that I'm starting to realize is he's the one who draws me. You know, I guess it kind of goes with what Missy says. I mean, we don't have the ability, you know, when you really look at it, I'm starting to see more and more this past year or so, or two of my life, that, you know, how much we really cannot do anything, you know, unless it's God's grace, that that does it through us. So I think a lot of times from my experience, he's the one who draws me. And then I go after him because I guess, I could try to do it in my own energy, you know, my own strength, and I fail miserably, or I'll get distracted by something, or, I mean, but, you know, when he draws me, yeah, I mean, I get the temptation to be distracted, but every time he draws me, I find I get closer. So I guess he's the one initiating it, and it's like the strength comes, the ability to get close to him comes, all that, you know, that allows me to get close to him, so. I mean, that's from my experience. I don't know if anyone else has ever had that, but yeah, I mean, he's the one who does it all in us. So I think I figured, hey, I mean, if he wants you to get close to him, he's going to initiate it, and then you go towards him. So,
okay, go ahead, Tim.
It's times like this when I always bring up that old white dog, black dog analogy that David used to use. You know, you feed the white dog and it grows stronger, and to feed him, you know, is fellowshipping and getting into the word. And that, you know, the more you know of the Lord and the more you know the word, the closer you can get to him. And the being drawn and having his grace is a big part of that. But to act on it also, you know, show me your faith apart from works, you know, kind of thing. And so we do have to make a conscious effort to get into the word and get to know the Lord and the fellowship of like-minded people, and put the bad things out of our mind and put the good things into our mind to, you know, get us closer to God.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was going to say too, it was similarly related to what Tim was saying, and that's just, you know, obedience too, you know, and that obedience, you can't obey without faith. So just, you know, I guess just asking the Lord all the time for more faith, you know, and, you know, but then again, you can't have faith without being in the Word. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Like Tim was saying, you can't, you know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So, you know, it's just God giving you the grace, but at the same time, you know, we do have to obey too. So, and I think, you know, sometimes the Lord can really spank us, you know, when we're not obedient, you know, to get our attention, you know, to draw us. I mean, that's one of the ways how he draws us too. He puts us through some misery sometimes until we cry out to him, and, you know, and that's his grace too. That's his mercy. So anyway.
Okay. Anybody else on how to draw near to God? Yes, Paula, go ahead.
Closely linked to what Missy said now, but I've seen in my life that thing to humble yourself to the Word of God and the repentance and faith, that if you see in the Word that you're not doing something, you're not adhering to something that He desires from you, to go and ask him. And like you said, if you don't have the desire, you ask for the desire. And also, I think that most of the times we know what it is, if there's something between you and God, because he writes it on your heart. So a lot of the times you actually do know, you can actually pinpoint what it is. He doesn't just leave you hanging and guessing. And it's your responsibility then to take that to the feet of Jesus and deal with that. And I find that the moment you do that, the moment you voice it and you call it what it is, you call a spade, it just brings peace. And immediately it's like that gap is closed between you and the Lord, and because you're in the light now, and then you can fellowship again. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Hello. Oh, Michael. I wanted to share
this. Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead.
Kind of off of what Paula said, I'm thinking about how we always hear we were sent here to die. So that's the overcoming of our flesh. And so we have to overcome that flesh, too, to draw near to the Lord. We can have the desire. We can tell him we want to and pray and ask him, and he gives the grace and, okay, we're going to do it. And then things come in the way, and so we have to die to those things that want to keep us from drawing near to God. We have to really focus on that and purpose to do it, to say no to the flesh. I was thinking.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? You know, y'all probably heard David say this. You know you're drawing near to God when the first thing you think of when you wake up is God. You know, that's a good quote. Now, that, to me, in essence, is you're drawing near to God because he's on your mind continually. He's on, not the fear of God so much as God. You know, what's he want me to do today? What do you want me to do today, Lord? You know, that kind of stuff. And then when you get up in the morning and you're thinking about God, do you ask God when you sit down to read the Word? And I know most of you do. When you sit down to read the Word, do you ask him to give you revelations? Do you ask him, Lord, show me what you want me to see today? You know, or whatever it is, you know, and he'll show it to you. And then, you know, just stuff like that, personal things for God. Lord, I want to know you better. Show me in your word how I can do that. You know, just whatever it is. Lord, I got a problem with so-and-so over there. How can I help him? Or how can they help me? Or what is it that I'm doing? You know, whatever it is. That puts you in a personal relationship with God, and he's going to talk to you and draw you closer to him. That's, you know, the Word of God, like Paula was talking about, the Word of God is essential to drawing close to God. Because how are you going to draw close to God if you don't know who he is? It's the Word of God that draws you closer to God. It's being in his presence, talking to him, and asking him, like everybody else has said, you know, Lord, show me how to be closer to you. Show me how to obey your commandments. That's what he said love was. When you obey his commandments, that's love. All right. Anybody else got some thought into this? I know it's going to do the Holy Spirit tonight, but this is what the Lord placed on my heart. And I got a bunch of stuff on the Holy Spirit, too, let me tell you. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about this. One of the things that really struck a nerve with me was, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. We had a video on of a guy, and I don't even remember what the context was or who he was, but at the end, he said that, you know, he was asking the Lord, what's on your mind today, Lord, instead of, you know, what's bothering us and what our wants are and stuff like that. And I try and do that most every morning, and a lot of times, you know, I don't get something that's a real clear answer, but a lot of times there is something, and it seems like, you know, that the Lord, you know, through my random verse or where I end up in the Bible or where I'm thinking, you know, during the day, that it is God has answered that when I've asked, you know, what's on your mind. And it seems like a really good way to have a good relationship with the Lord, to not, you know, always just lay our troubles on him and ask for solutions for our stuff, but ask him what's on his mind and then to act on it or pray about it and stuff like that. So for those that didn't hear that thing, or you know, it was a faith builder for me, and I would encourage you to try it.
Yeah, I remember that. It's been a while back, but I remember that. I remember where it came from, but, what the question was asked. The statement that was made is rather than sit there and bore God with all of your problems, ask him what he wants, you know. Yeah, Missy.
That reminds me of song, who's it by? It's called Word of God Speak. I think it's Mercy Me. Because Word of God Speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God Speak. Anyway, I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. Anyway, just talking about listening to God and not always having to have something to say, but listening to him. So it's a good song.
Got to have the mute off before you can talk, don't you? All right. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Lord. Let me read another paragraph here, if I might. Okay, I think you'll get some more. We'll get some more nuggets here. He says, there is no union so intimate, so real, so perfect as that of an indwelling life. Think of the life that circulates through a large, fruitful tree, how it penetrates and fills every portion, how inseparably it unites the whole as long as it really is to exist, in wood and leaf, in flower and fruit, everywhere. The indwelling life flows and fills. This life is the life of nature, the life of the Spirit of God, which dwells in nature. It is the same life that animates our bodies, the spirit of nature providing every portion of them with the power of sensibility and action. Not less intimate, yea, rather far more wonderful and real, is the indwelling of the spirit of the new life through whom God dwells in the heart of the believer. And it is as this indwelling becomes a matter of conscious longing and faith that the soul obeys the command, let them make me a holy place that I may dwell among them, and experiences the truth of the promise. The tent shall be sanctified by my glory, and I will dwell among the children of Israel. It was as the indwelling one that God revealed himself in the Son, whom he sanctified and sent into the world. More than once, our Lord insisted upon it. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The Father abiding in me does the works. It is especially as the temple of God that believers are more than once called holy in the New Testament. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. All the building groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. It is just because it is through the Spirit that the heart is prepared for the indwelling, and the indwelling affected and maintained, that the Spirit so peculiarly takes the attributes of holy. The indwelling Spirit is the Holy Spirit. the measure of his indwelling, or rather of his revealing the indwelling Christ, is the measure of holiness. Amen. That's the measure of holiness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
I'm on a song kick again. It reminds me of, there's a song, Lord, I Need You, and I think it's Chris Tomlin and other singers, but he's saying holiness. There's a part where he says, holiness is Christ in me, you know, and sometimes I wonder if they really understand what that means, you know, the depth of that. But it's so true. And I was thinking that earlier, and then you said it right there. And I was like, I got to share that. But anyway, it's a really good song.
Well, I thought she was going to sing it, didn't y'all? Sing it, girl. Oh, my. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody, you know, I thought that analogy about the fruit tree was awesome. That's where we want that whole, we want our whole being saturated with the Holy Spirit, because that's what brings out the good fruit in us, isn't it? That's what brings out the good fruit and the good leaves and all of that stuff. But we don't eat the leaves, we eat the fruit, don't we? And that's what God wants. God's going to pick the fruit. Because we are indwelling with God. God's indwelling us. I feel the Holy Spirit. Don't y'all feel the Holy Spirit? I feel the Holy Spirit in me. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Come on now. Let's talk here a little bit. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Jordan.
I was thinking about the verse that says, without holiness shall no man see God. And I thought about it two ways. Not only will the man who's not holy not see God, but if somebody's not holy, no man's going to see God. You know, the person he's supposed to show God to won't see God either, because if you neglect to be holy, everybody misses out.
That's a good way of putting it, because if you're not holy and you're not going out there and spreading the gospel or praying for folks or whatever it is that God has you done, then you're not a part of the body, are you? Amen. That's good. Somebody loses out when we neglect our time with the Lord, I should say. And I've been guilty. I've been guilty so much. But not no more. I'm doing my best. And that's all we can do, isn't it? We can walk this walk that God's got us on. We got the Word of God to help us out. How many of you studied a little bit on the Holy? Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
Michael, no, I just wanted to say it reminds me of what David, how he interpreted the Lord's first miracle. We have to put the water in the vessels, and then he comes and he transforms it to life and to his blood and his nature. Mm. But we have to fill the pots. Yeah. Mm.
I don't know why I keep forgetting that, Tim. I saw you do that. I don't know. What I told her was that we have to fill that clay vessel. Praise God. And this is how we do it. That's how we do it right there. Praising God, too. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody got anything else on the indwelling? God's indwelling in us. Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to remind you about Missy's 8-minute film or book or whatever it is.
Okay. Missy? Missy, come in, Missy.
Yeah.
Do you have this 8-minute clip that you wanted to share?
Well, I can't share it because I don't even know how to get share the audio. I've tried to figure out that.
What's the name of it?
Just Why Does God Make Us Wait? I'm pretty sure is the title of it.
Is that on YouTube?
Yeah.
Why does God what?
Make us wait.
All right, let me go see if I can find it right quick. Y'all talk about something.
I found the lyrics to what I was talking about. Some.
Missy, who's that by?
The song I'm talking about?
No, the video.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't say anywhere, but I'm pretty sure it's Derek Prince.
It is. It's a part of one of his sermons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think at the end of the title, Michael, it says like an inspirational message or something like that. But yeah.
Anyway,
one of the things that Tom just said, and I didn't see anybody.
Hello? What was that?
Never mind. Let me mute myself so I won't be interfering with you.
The chorus song that Chris Tomlin sings, it's from this Passion concert, I think, or something anyway, and I think it's others that singing it with him there. It says, holiness is Christ in me, and it goes, where sin runs deep, your grace is more, where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But yeah, that was the verse I was talking about.
Is it the importance of waiting? No. Is that it?
I just posted it down there. Go ahead and click on the last link I did, Michael.
You know what I've noticed about God's child?
There we go.
He hardly ever tells you. This is it.
Is that it? Okay, I got it. Why does God make you wait? Christian motivation? Is that it, Missy?
I think so. Pretty sure. Okay. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Well, and if you hold out for 6 months, you'll be through. And some of us get to 5 months and 29 days, and we give up. We didn't know we only had one more day. Never give up. There's no precedent in the Bible for giving up. God determines how long the test will last, not we. You see, waiting is one of the tests to which God almost invariably subjects the servants he intends to use. I'll give you just a little list. Abraham, you're going to have a son who will be the head of a nation that will be unique in the earth. How long did he have to wait? 25 years. He had to watch his wife past the age of childbearing and still wait. It amazes me that Abraham is so highly rated in the Bible. But what did he do? Well, essentially, he was a prosperous cattle farmer. And he wandered around the area to the east end of the Mediterranean, looking after his flocks and his herds. He did nothing very dramatic until the time came that he offered up, or was willing to offer up, his son Isaac. I've often asked myself, what was it in Abraham that caused God to esteem him so highly that he was called the friend of God? And I'm not sure that I really know the answer. But I think one way he earned God's favor was by waiting. Some of you are going to forfeit God's favor if you don't wait. And then there was Joseph. I love the passage in Psalm 105 that speaks about Joseph. I think I can identify with this to some extent from my own experience. Psalm 105, verse 17 and following. God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. His soul came into irons. Somebody said the iron came into his soul. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. See, that's a test. The Lord gives you a glorious promise, tremendous. And after that, everything goes the opposite way. Instead of becoming the ruler over your brethren, you end up in a jail in Egypt. And I can't think of a worse place to be in jail than Egypt. What was God doing? Testing. What was the test? Waiting. And then, if you want to look at others, Moses. It says in Numbers 12, verse 3, Moses was the meekest man on earth. How did Moses learn meekness? From waiting, by waiting 40 years. Somebody asked another preacher friend of mine, why did God keep Moses waiting 40 years? And the answer was, because he couldn't do it in 39. God will not finish until the test is complete. When Moses first thought he could deliver Egypt, he was Israel out of Egypt, he was a very arrogant young man. 40 years later, he was the meekest man on earth. And no one except Jesus has ever exercised such authority as Moses exercised. So if you want to have authority, you know what you need to cultivate? Meekness. God cannot trust his authority to the arrogant, the proud, the self-assertive. We had a prophetic word that said that in so many ways. You know the condition for promotion in the kingdom of God? It's very easy. It's abase yourself. Everyone who abases himself will be exalted. But on the other hand, everyone who exalts himself will be abased. That's right. You have the choice. That's an unalterable law that governs the universe. People talk about breaking God's laws. That's not true. We don't break God's laws. God's laws break us if we break them. And then let's think just about David for a moment. Another young man who was given tremendous promises of God. And he spent the next, I don't know how many years, I think probably about 15 years, living, as he said himself, like a dead dog or a partridge on the mountains, running away from the man whom he was to succeed as king. Why does God permit that? In fact, why does God ordain that? What is he looking for? In one word, I didn't hear you. Endurance, that's right. You cannot bypass endurance. You know whom I'm speaking to at the moment? Me. You cannot bypass endurance and enter into the promises of God. You can come so far. The completeness is only through endurance. And just when it seems impossible to hold on, that's the time to hold on. Don't give in. I would like to say that to several of you individually. You're in the test. You're doing all right. Just hang in there. Don't back out. Don't give up. God is faithful. I've been asked sometimes if I had a message to leave for posterity, what would it be? I always say I can give it to you in three words. God is faithful. I'll tell you another thing about waiting. It causes us to realize more and more our dependence on God. I can't do anything. I can't make it happen. I don't know when he's coming. I just depend on him. We're dependent on him. So waiting causes us to realize in an altogether new measure our dependence on Jesus.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Wait, y'all. Endure. Boy, that's a bad word in most diverse dictionary, you know. Patience is one of the main things that God, when we're in the boot camp, that's one of the main things that he works in us. It's patience. You got to have patience. Anybody got any comments? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
You know, the first time I listened to this, what was coming to my mind was something that the Lord showed me with numbers back. There were two numbers that he impressed upon me back in 2015. And and one of the numbers was 44 and the other number was 34. And I remember David talking about 44. It was within a year of that, I believe, or so. And he was saying, no, 44 represents, has to do with the man child, the anointing of the man child. And with the anointing of the man child, there's either blessing on ones or judgment on others. And so it's the Lord, without going into a bunch of details, the Lord was showing me that number. And then I was on the road on the highway coming home from somewhere. And I was on the turnpike. And, you know, I was thinking about this number 44 because this was the first thing that the Lord had showed me. Was the number 44. And I was really thinking about that. And he got my attention because there was a sign that says, next rest stop, 34 miles. And you might remember this, Michael. Maybe probably not, but I had texted someone and asked them, what's the number 34 mean? And they told me endurance. And so then I remember the other day that I texted you then because I thought it meant something different. And you told me that it was endurance too. And so what the Lord showed me was, is what came to my mind were the all these places where it says that I think there's like three different places that says that he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, you know. And just I started looking up all these verses that was talking about and endurance and endure and whatever. And what the Lord was speaking to me was, is that sign that said next rest stop 34 miles. What the Lord showed me was, is you don't have endurance without resting in him, because you wear yourself out because it's your works. So you don't have endurance. And the only place to get anywhere with God is to rest, knowing he's already done it all. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to be in our works. And so what the Lord was speaking to me was, is when you endure to the end, you know, I'm going to bless you. And what was coming to me earlier was, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, or some versions say endurance, run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Run with, and let us run with endurance the race. And then it says about endured the cross, you know, that's the endurance. But the cross, you know, there is no cross unless you're resting in the Lord. That, you know, resting in the Lord, you know, that's the same as the cross, because the cross, you're not doing your own works, you know? So, but anyway, so that just, and so when it was, I was thinking about that. And then when it came to the part where he said the word, somebody said something, he says, yes, endurance. I was like, oh, wow, Lord, you're too cool. Because I was thinking about that whole thing. And then the word endurance comes up and he uses it. And it's just like, I was just like, wow, I knew that the Lord was speaking to me through this. And it was such a great encouragement. And so I just wanted to share that. It's so cool. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I wish you'd get excited sometime. Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Tim.
Several things come to mind. Is your, as Missy was talking about endurance and that thing that Derek Prince about endurance and stuff. And the probably the most important thing was, you know, for Jesus, you know, to endure to the end, you know, because if, you know, if he hadn't have endured to the end, you know, to actually die, to be resurrected, you know, none of this sort of, you know, what's happening now wouldn't have manifested into a religion or a salvation for us. He had to see it through to the end. And another thing that came to mind is that I've known quite a few people who were really strong in the Lord at one point in their life, and they backslid, and they didn't endure to the end. And I'm really, you know, I pray for them that they will return, you know, back to their first love, because I think everything they did, they've lost it. They've given it up. And it's a tragedy, you know, to have known the Lord and then and not follow through to the end. And for us too, you know, it takes away that once saved, always saved doctrine. You know, when all the verses that Missy was talking about where it says you have to endure to the end, you know, to finish what you started. If you don't, there is no salvation if you're not with, you know, with Jesus at the very end. So it's really important, the endurance thing, and it's something that we got to take very seriously. And appreciate, that Jesus was able to endure to the end for us.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I forgot the clincher to the whole story. Now get a load of this. Okay. When I was down in May of 2015 for almost 2 weeks visiting. And then in July, I went down to Tennessee for a long stay there. But anyway, after I had gone back in July, I walked into Bert's Hometown Grill there. And I had been there before, but I didn't see this before. They have I had a table there with pizza boxes stacked up, waiting for pizza to be put in them. There are two speed limit signs. Blew me away. The one on the left says speed limit 44, and the other one says speed limit 34. I was like, whoa. I just knew that I was where I was supposed to be, because it was right before my visit in May that the Lord showed me those numbers, 44 and 34. And I was just like, wow. And just, the Lord bringing me back to all that and just thinking about it again and meditating on it. And the Lord just really encouraged me with it all. And the Lord is just so cool. I mean, it's just like, okay, there is no such thing as a speed limit 44 and no such thing as a speed limit 34. And it's like, the Lord put them there just for me, just for me, I was like, oh, wow, he is just so cool. I mean, it's just in times like that, you know that the Lord's being led by you, and you know that you're being led by the Lord, I'm sorry, and that you know that he loves you. So, it's just like, he's so awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I've never noticed him there. But yeah, I wasn't looking for him either.
You gotta go look the next time you're there.
Okay, I will. All right, anybody else? We look at Abraham. He waited 25 years. I'll tell you something else about Abraham. If you think about it, can y'all hear me? The thing about Abraham is, after the boy was growing up, then the Lord told him to take him up there and sacrifice him. Now, how many of y'all would do that? Well, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to sacrifice whatever it is that out there that's hindering your walk. If there's a child that you're having, that's giving you problems, and you're sitting there and you're worried to death about it, put him on the altar. If you've got a husband or a wife, put him on the altar. If you got a good buddy, put him on the altar. Because God, he'll do it. He'll take care of him. And then we have to just wait and have patience, didn't he? Just have patience. Some people that might be struggling with a health issue and been doing it for a long time, endure to the end. Just like Derek Prince, man, I thought that was awesome. 29 days and you give up, and it was the 30th day that he was going to give it to you. Boy, I don't want to miss that one, y'all. Not me. Not the kid. I ain't missing it. Mm-mm. I ain't going to do it. What do you think, Leon?
I agree wholeheartedly.
Amen.
Endure to the end.
That's exactly right. Go ahead, Andrew.
That's because one of those months should have been February. Well, I was going to mention Romans 4:21 for good old Abraham there. He's talking about the promises. He's talking about all the promises of God in 4:21 of Romans. And 21 is 7 times 3. The rest there. It says, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and that he is the Almighty God. And it's written there twice, he, and he's fully assured that what he had promised, he is able to perform. I'm looking over there all the time because I have these verses written on a piece of paper and they're stuck to the wall there. If anyone comes over, they can, what's that? So they can know that you got to wait on God for your promise to come true. I don't know why he wants us to wait, but for some things, you got to wait. And it's going to happen.
I think it's a trust factor. Are you going to trust God, or are you just going to run out of patience? All right, anybody else?
You know, you just got to get really happy about it. Rejoice about it, that this is your test. You know, and you're going to get some experience out of it. How many experiences have you already had? You know, rejoice for your test. You know, it's not like school when you used to get those tests, you know, they're, oh no, forgot to study. You know, you can't say that because he studied with you. You're not supposed to fail, but when you fail, you go to him for forgiveness and cleansing. So it proves you studied, right? Anyway.
Amen. Yeah, that patience thing is a trial in itself. Sometimes you're talking about celebrating during our tests. Man, I'd be in a continual celebration. You know what I'm talking about? I should be sometimes. At least that's what it feels like. I know it ain't near about that bad, but praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
You know, just recently, I had this situation where I thought somebody knew something because I thought someone else told them, but they didn't tell them. And I realized that they didn't know, so I had to tell them. And I'm like, Lord, why did you allow that to go on so long? Because it was over a month. And I'm like, and it was like the Lord was saying, it was, you know, thinking about all this and everything, it was a test. God's sovereign, and that he works all things to them that love God. He works all things together for their good, you know, and I'm just like really kind of puzzled about it in a sense, but at the same time, it's a freeing thing. I think for the person that I was, that I finally realized that I needed to tell him something, and me, and it was just like the Lord is just so cool, and it just kind of really just gave me a sense of freedom, and I think it probably did for the other person too. So it's just and that was kind of like a waiting thing, like a whole over a month thing or whatever, and but anyway, it's just the Lord is so good. He's just so good, and I just want to praise him and thank him for it. You know, I felt really bad at first that this person didn't know what I should have told them, but I thought somebody else told them. But anyway, it was just, I'm like, Lord, why did you let me go that long and not realize this, you know, or whatever. But anyway, it's just he's just good. He really is so sovereign. So thank you, Lord.
What is it Q says? Timing is everything.
What was that?
That's, what is it Q says? He says timing is everything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Joe, you doing okay? Joe Britt? All right, buddy. We'll pray you some warm weather there here shortly.
We'll give it back after summer.
No, we ain't giving it back. You can't have our hot weather. No way.
You know, I was thinking, though, we look at Abraham. He waited 25 years before Isaac, right? Isaac was born. But he did falter, you know, and that's a good thing for us to look at. It's not like he was totally waiting on God for 25 years because he had Ishmael. He lost his faith a little bit, so he kind of wanted to help things along. But that's not mentioned against Abraham in Romans. It's not, because we also look at what God, we understand about heaven. And when God, we go over our history of our life in heaven, he doesn't necessarily go over our failures. He goes over our successes. And when we walked in the Word, he's not going to go there to condemn you. Our life history is not about our failures. And that's one of the things about, you'll see in the New Testament. It's not for an example, but you're not going to be drawn through your life about all your failures and all you missed, that you screwed up there, you did that wrong. No, you get back on your feet and you repent and you move forward. And that's what God wants. You know, and that's what happened with Abraham. Even then he had to give up Ishmael and the handmaid Hagar. He gave them up. But it was a mistake. But he still repented and did it in the Lord's will in that way, direction too. So, and Ishmael was blessed. But even today, well, unfortunately, we still have the problem with Ishmael. The Ishmaelites face that spirit over there in Israel. Anyways, just rambling thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, Paula, go ahead.
Just linking with what you said now, Dave, can I read a piece, Michael? It's very short, from Charles Spurgeon. It's also a daily devotional. And he says in Genesis 1:5, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." And he says, "The evening was darkness and the morning was light. And yet the two together are called by the name that is given to the light alone." This is somewhat remarkable, but it has an exact analogy in spiritual experience. In every believer, there is darkness and light. And yet he is not to be named a sinner because there is sin in him, but he is to be named a saint because he possesses some degree of holiness. This will be a most comforting thought to those who are mourning their infirmities and who ask, "Can I be a child of God while there is so much darkness in me?" Yes, for you, like the day, take not your name from the evening but from the morning, and you are spoken of in the Word of God as if you were even now perfectly holy, as you will be soon. You are called the child of light, though there is darkness in you still. You are named after what is the predominating quality in the sight of God, which will one day be the only principle remaining. Observe that the evening comes first. Naturally, we are darkness first in order of time, and the gloom is often first in our mournful apprehension, driving us to cry out in deep humiliation, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The place of the morning is second. It dawns when grace overcomes nature. It is a blessed aphorism of John Bunyan: "That which is last, lasts forever." That which is first yields in due season to the last, but nothing comes after the last. So that though you are naturally darkness, when once you become light in the Lord, there is no evening to follow. Thy sun shall no more go down. The first day in this life is an evening and a morning, but the second day, when we shall be with God forever, shall be a day with no evening, but one sacred, high, eternal noon.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. What is today? Thursday? It's Thursday, yeah. Thank you, Father. Well, all right. Anybody got a prayer request before we close out tonight? Or got anything on your mind? Where's Willie?
Probably getting ready for Saturday.
That could be. Could be. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for a wonderful night tonight. It's been pleasing and good to hear all the things that we heard tonight. I believe it was Holy Spirit inspired, and that's what we want, Lord. We want to be led by your Holy Spirit. Always want to be led by your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just believe that that's what happened tonight, that you led us into talking about holiness and your indwelling in us. And we thank you for it, Father. I know I've enjoyed it and got some insight in some places that I needed, and I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the patient thing there from Derek Prince. That helped too. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you put all this stuff that we've learned tonight in our heart so that we can put it into practice. And Father, we thank you for storing it in that file so we can always rely on it and pick it out when we need it and endure in our faith to the end and to seek you for the indwelling, filling of the Holy Spirit and just all of those things, Lord, that make up this walk that you've got us on. Lord, I just ask and I pray for your mercy with this storm coming in down in Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi. And I ask, Father, that that you would save a lot of people from harm, if that's what was planned. I just ask for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Give them another chance. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that Wade and Jeanette's down there. I ask, Father, for your protection upon them. I don't think they're down there, but I know where they are. But I just ask for your protection upon them, Lord, that won't be any bad things happening there, in Jesus' name. We just praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your farmers that are planting or getting their crops plowed up and all of that stuff, Lord, that we would get something out of this for the crops. I know it's going to be a real short year through this area because of all the rain we had back in the spring, Father. I ask for your mercy. I'm asking, Lord, that the other places that didn't have this rain, that you would double up on their fruit there, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you've got us all by the hand. You're leading us, you're guiding us, you're directing us. Thank you for your love that you've placed in our hearts for each other and you, Lord. And I just praise you for it, Father. Be with us, protect us, give us a good night's sleep tonight. And just bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, y'all.